story in the New Testament, of course, comes from the lips of the Lord Jesus. So listen to this and watch as we have it. We need the sound up, please, for the audio.
Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him, and the Pharisees and scribes complained,
"This man receives sinners and eats with them."
So he spoke this parable to them.
What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." I say to you that likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost." Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. A certain man had 2 sons, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me." So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods, but the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and he's alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry. Now, his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf.' But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, 'Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found.
Well, we know the stories, right? We've heard them for a long time. You remember what the occasion was? Jesus was meeting with sinners. And the Pharisees were saying, why is he doing this? What are you doing? These are bad people. You remember what Jesus told them these stories for? What was he wanting to get across to them? That's not a rhetorical question. What was he wanting to get across from them? The what? Say it loud.
Forgiveness.
Okay. What else?
The Father's love.
Yeah, there's the concept of the Father's heart is major in this. Because you see that reflected in the two phrases that were repeated. There's joy in the presence of the angels above over one sinner who repents. Remember that, how that concept came twice? When you watch the Super Bowl next week, whosever team is winning and they score a touchdown, look at the fans. The fans go wild and they get all excited. I was at a Big Ten game a number of years ago with a youth group, and the pastor of the church that I was serving as youth pastor at, they scored a touchdown and everybody went crazy. They were throwing toilet paper rolls and just yelling and screaming. It was a home game. And he punched me and he said, it's a little bit like this in heaven when a sinner repents. It's kind of neat to think about, isn't it? But you know, Jesus told the story also to help us understand that things can get lost and people can get lost. And it's real easy for people to get lost. Parents at that time go through a lot of difficulty when they have a prodigal, or family members when there's a prodigal. How can we help? Well, there are things that we can do, and I'd like to just give you some ideas of things that you can do to help them. Because part of the responsibility that we have in this congregation is to help people as they go through difficult times, to provide for them, to encourage them, to support them. And let me give you a couple of ideas of how we can do that. First of all, we can tell them that this happens. I mean, they need to understand that, because many times people have difficulty. Let me read you what one of my brother pastors got in the mail, email that was sent to him. What about prodigals who've been saved and walk away from everything they know to be true? Our daughter has been drifting and living a sinful lifestyle for the past 2 years. She has recently chosen to totally walk away from the ways of her world before. She is involved in an abusive relationship and has turned her back on us, her parents, and her brothers. This young lady is musically gifted, loves people, and has served the Lord since she was 3 years old. We're a Christian family. We've always been close-knit. She and I have had a strong relationship emotionally and spiritually until she got involved in this abusive boyfriend. She has given up everything she loves and has lost her identity. She continues to cut off communication with us. It breaks our hearts. And we try our hardest to trust the Lord and believe that He alone can rescue her for Himself. I guess I'm looking for some words of wisdom and encouragement on how we can have hope. And that's where a lot of people are. It's a difficult time. It doesn't have to be a daughter or a son. I know of a pastor who went with a lady in his church and left his family. Rejected an entire family. I know of a guy who was a youth leader in a church, went to a Bible college, and now he's living in a homosexual lifestyle. And gotten away from his family. What do we do? How can we help people who feel this way? Well, one way we can do it is just let them know that we understand this happens. And parents have such a hard time because their hearts are broken when this takes place. And family members do too. They worry over the situation. They face embarrassment that their child isn't walking with God. There's anger that they have over the situation that the child's, what the child's doing and what's going on. There's just anger. They fear for their lives, the person's, that's the prodigal's lives, physically and spiritually. They feel defeated and discouraged. And they feel without hope, especially as the time goes on longer and longer and longer. Because, you know, sometimes it goes on long periods of time. But like Teresa said today, God's timing's right. You know, if you get them back before they come to themselves, remember the story Jesus said? When he came to himself, he said, you got to let them get there. And it's a hard thing to do. Many times we try and intercept them so they don't hit the bottom, but they've got to get to where they want to come out. If you get them before that, they'll always think, if I just had a little bit more time, if I just had this, it would have worked out. And many times they step back out again. You got to let them hit. Got to let them hit. It's very, very difficult. It's very, very hard. And understand that. So how can we help people that are going through that? Let me give you four different things you can do, okay? It's simple things, but they really help. The first thing you can do is help them focus on the Lord's power and the Lord's love to change the situation. Because you know what? They can't. They can't lecture them. They can't preach to them. They can't. There's nothing they can do that's going to change the situation around. They can't do anything. They have to totally cast themselves upon the Lord. But that's okay. From the story that Jesus told of the prodigal son, I love this picture that was painted by somebody. It's the picture of the father running towards his son when his son's heading back. And that's the heart of the father. If they simply will move towards him, the father will look. The father loves people who aren't walking with him. In fact, I seem to remember a verse that says, for God so loved the and that's a lot of people aren't walking with him, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. His heartbeat is that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. So we have to help people look to God, not look to their abilities, because there's nothing they can do that can bring them back. They have to look to God. God's going to be the change agent in that. In the book of Isaiah in chapter 58 and verse 20 and 21, God says this, the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. You've got to understand, that's what's going on in their hearts of people that are prodigals. There's this stuff that's just taking place all the time. David put it this way. You remember there was a time David was a prodigal away from the Lord? Remember King David? Right? You remember after he committed adultery with Bathsheba? He's covering stuff up. Maybe he's still king, but he wasn't with the Lord at that time. You know what he said? He said in one of the Psalms, there was just this roaring that was taking place in his bones. That's how he described it, the unrest. There was just unrest with him all the time. And prodigals have that. They live in this unrest. Now, you know, Satan has tricked them into thinking the pleasures of what they're doing is okay, and they try and put down that unrest. But I got to tell you something. When they're quiet, when no one else is around, that unrest is taking place. And it's there. And it never will end until they finally move. Because there's no peace. They just don't have that peace. They'll have moments of happiness and moments of distraction, but they won't have peace. They have to come to the place where they're with the pigs. And they say, I don't want to be here anymore. I don't want to be here. That's why it's so important for families to love them, to extend love to them. Because when they get to this, they have to have a place to go. If they don't have a place to go, they have two options. To change their situation that doesn't really change anything, they know it, or to take their life, which many do. There's only two options. They need to know there's a loving family. There's people who care that will accept them, that will take them back in. The Father's that way. That's the way we're to be. And we need to be that. Can it really happen? In Matthew chapter 19, verse 26, Jesus said one time, with God, some things are possible. Is that what the verse says? All things are possible. With men, it's impossible. With God, all things are possible. There's a movie coming out next month. Yeah, I guess we're still in January. Next month. It's called Risen. I've just seen the trailers for it, read a little bit about it. But it's about the resurrection, viewed from the viewpoint of a Roman soldier involved in the crucifixion. And so it's fiction, but it carries forth the concept of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And it's kind of neat that's coming out before Easter, because it reminds us of the fact that God does the impossible. I mean, how possible is it that a person who's dead, brutalized, tortured, and then killed and put in a grave is going to come back to life? That's impossible. That can't happen. Right? How many people have you seen that they've buried, come back to life? If you go out to the cemetery to wait, you'll be waiting for a while, won't you? You know? I mean, the Lord's coming back and that'll take care of things, but you can be waiting. And yet, God did it. It was impossible, but God did it. And so by faith, we have to understand that God can do things we can't. And we need to help them focus upon God. The second thing we need to do is encourage them to pray the Scriptures for their loved one. We need to encourage them to get into the Scriptures, because it's the Word of God that provides help to transform their mind as they're going through the situation. And if they'll get in the Scriptures and ask the Lord, He'll provide verses for them as they're reading that will encourage their hearts. But you can share a couple with it. Let me give you a couple of verses that you can share with them. I love this passage. It's from the book of Ephesians in chapter 1, verse 17 to 21. And I have a family member that's a prodigal. And I pray this for the family member that's a prodigal. This comes from Paul's prayer as he begins the book of Ephesians. And he says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in heavenly places, far above principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Well, that's a great passage, because it puts it into focus. What am I asking God to do? To open up the eyes of their understanding. Now, let me read it to you in The Voice. This is another translation, more paraphrastic, but this is what it says. He's taking the prayer and he says, God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Anointed, Father of glory, I call out to you on behalf of your people. Give them minds ready to receive wisdom and revelation so they will truly know you. Open the eyes of their hearts. Boy, I like that way to phrase it. Open the eyes of their hearts. And let the light of your truth flood in. You know why? Because they've been believing a lie. And they need the truth of God to flood into their hearts. Reveal to them the glorious riches you are preparing as their inheritance. Let them see the full extent of your power that's at work in those who believe. And may it be done according to your power and might. See, we want to see them change. And it's a battle. Satan has taken them and he's hurting them. Right? Do you understand that? He's not an absent player in this whole thing. He's very much active, very much working. Now, the people that are choosing to walk in rebellion don't understand that. They think they're making their own decisions. They don't want to be hemmed in by what they're living in. They want to do it on their own. And so they think that they're walking their own way. What they do not realize is they're believing a bunch of lies that Satan has whispered into their heart. And as they follow the lies, Then they move into situations like the man that Jesus talked about. You know? I mean, he didn't plan on ending up where he ended up. Right? You understand that? Shake your head like this. Yeah. He planned on making it big. But he didn't. And can I just tell you? I've watched for many, many, many years now people walk into prodigality. Walk into being prodigals. I've watched them do it, and you know what I've always seen take place? They never experience what they want. It always breaks bad. It's always terrible. It's always down. The nice thing is, most of them have come back. Took time. I don't like to say the word, but it took years. Not days. Not months. But they came back. Here's another passage of Scripture that they can pray. It's from Jeremiah chapter 31. So, and do you understand how they can pray it? Lord, open the eyes of their heart that they can see the truth of who You are. And here's another one from Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord, refrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for your work shall be rewarded, says the Lord. And they shall come back from the land of the enemy. There is hope in your future, says the Lord, that your children will come back to their own borders. That was said by Jeremiah, by the Lord to Jeremiah, as Israel is rebelling against God's way. They were prodigals. And God says they're going to come back. Did it take time? Yep. But it did happen. And here's the third thing we... We can encourage them to draw upon the Lord's strength as they wait for the person to come to an understanding of their situation. And that's just a hard one. But they got to have strength from somewhere. That's where you can come in. You can come in and help them. Because one thing you can do is help them to understand that they have to guard their hearts. Remember this passage from the book of Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. It says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. And you've got to work with them, because Satan wants to take them out also. Not just the prodigal, he wants to take the family out. And if they don't guard their hearts, they can be fodder for him also. You see, what happens is, a person makes the choice that they're going to walk away from the situation they've lived in for years. First, the family that experiences this are in shock. And how can this possibly be? And usually, it's been my experience with people, shock goes to anger. And they get very, very mad at the situation that's taking place. And then they confront the individual with the truth. Usually pretty strong, pretty demanding, pretty, you know, they're just really, really there. And the person leaves. I wish that weren't the pattern, but that's the way it's been over the years. We've got to guard our hearts. Because if you stay in this kind of a situation, if you stay with the anger, there's going to be a problem. Well, do you change off the truth? No, you don't change off the truth. Truth is truth. But the anger needs to be taken care of. The way you can deal with it is you have to accept the situation. You know, there's the shock of it, but you've got to come to the place where you understand they've made a choice. It's dumb. It's not biblical. It's going to hurt them. But you know what? They made the choice. You're not a bad parent. They made the choice. Do you know the man Samuel from the Bible? Samuel was a pretty righteous guy. I mean, he walked with God. The nation of Israel turned from corruption in his generation to a day that was just really transformed by one man's influence and prayers, Samuel. And yet his sons did not walk with the Lord. They rebelled against God's way. Can happen anywhere. The big thing parents have to do, family has to do, is forgive. And you know, sometimes that forgiveness has to be every day because new things crop up. They need to keep very short accounts and forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive. Because if they don't, you know where their heart goes to? Bitterness. Resentment. and pushing the person out. This is a very painful situation to be in. They've got to forgive. And they've got to love. They've got to let the person know that they love. Most people will be in it for years, but when they want to come out, they need to know there's a place they can come that's safe. They need to know a place that they can come where you haven't changed the standards, but they know they're loved. They know they're cared for. Standards don't change. Somebody said, well, what about the scripture that says if you go and confront them and they don't walk right, then you cast them out? You know? You treat them as publicans and sinners. Or in Corinthians, where you had the people that were in sin, you cast them out. Well, yeah, that's what the church does. You know what the family does? The family loves them. And by the way, when they treat them as publicans and sinners, how do they treat them? Let me ask you, how did Jesus treat publicans and sinners?
He ate with them.
He spent time with them. He loved them. He wanted to see them out of their situation. To be sure, they can't be in leadership if they're in rebellion, but you don't... You know, that's the church doing that. But families, you reach out and they need to know they're loved. They need to know they have a safe place to come. They need to know they can come and talk. Because they'll meet frustrations. And then the families need to trust God. That God will take care of it. Because God is the only one who can change the person's heart. They can't. I know, because most parents and friends have tried. They've talked, but you can't argue them out of their decisions. You can't beg them out of their decisions. You can't buy them out of their decisions. You can trust God. He's been in the business of changing people's hearts for millennia. And He continues to do that. So we encourage them to draw upon the Lord's strength. And one of the ways we can do that is by throwing up scriptures to them. You know, the thief doesn't come except to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have that more abundantly. And so we pray, Lord, I'd like that You'd work in this person's life that they might experience abundant life. Because I know Satan's coming to destroy and kill, to hurt them. Would You give them abundant life? Another verse. And the Lord, He is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear and do not be dismayed. That's a great one for people that are having family members that are out that way. Because they need to know they can trust God. Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And I pray that for them too, don't you? The prodigals. Lord, would You be with them? Would You protect their life from being destroyed? Would You save them so they don't die? For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying, fear not, I will help you. Boy, families need to know that God will help them. God will take care of them. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage and He will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And you know, sometimes people just need these verses sent to them. One of the neat things you can do is go up on our website. We have the banners. You can send it an email to them. And encourage their hearts because they need encouragement. They need to know somebody's standing with them because this is a battle they're having to fight. They're, like I said, they're embarrassed by the battle. But if you know about it and you can come along to encourage them, you need to give them something. They need something more than just you saying hi. They need you praying for them to be sure, but give them something. Give them some passages of scriptures and tell them to really read that every day, 3 times a day for a week. That one passage of scripture. It'll begin to build them up on the inside. And then the last thing is this. Remind them of God's successes. There are a whole lot. Let me just give you two. We don't have much time. Monica of Hippo was a mother. You notice the time when she lived. She lived at 331 to 387 AD. Monica was married by her parents at 13 to an abusive man. They didn't know he was abusive, but he was. She had 3 children by him who survived. Her youngest son, she was a Christian, her youngest son was the brightest of all 3. But he rebelled at age 17 when his dad died. Wine, women, song, that's how he lived his life. They had a child outside of marriage with a mistress. He joined a cult, and his mom's heart just continued to go down and down and down and down and down. She prayed and she cried out to the Lord. And one day she talked to the bishop who was in the city over to the churches in the city, and she was telling about the situation. And he said to her these words, God's time will come. Go now, for it is not possible that the son of so many tears should perish. Her son finally came to Jesus Christ for salvation when he was the age of 33. His name is Augustine. He became a bishop over the churches there. He was a pastor, a theologian, a philosopher, a Bible scholar, and an author. And his books, well, I have some on my shelf today, and they're still being printed. See, God can take somebody who rebels and use them for His glory. Now, what is true is all the wasted years. You can't get them back. I mean, the prodigal son came back, but guess what? His inheritance, he was invited in the family, but his inheritance didn't exist anymore. It was gone. I mean, he could maybe live on the family land, but he didn't have anything. It was over. He'd wasted it. And any time you walk away from God, there are things that you waste and you lose. Well, that was a long time ago. How about today? Well, let me just, by the way, before I do that, let me give you a couple phrases. This is Augustine. This is what he said. Faith to believe what you do not see yet. Faith is to believe what you do not see yet. The reward for this faith is to see what you believe. Isn't that a neat statement? I like that. He also said, to fall in love with God is the greatest romance. To seek Him, the greatest adventure. To find Him, the greatest human achievement. The confession of evil works is the beginning of good works. Because that's coming to Jesus. Isn't that neat? And there is no saint without a past, and no sinner without a future. Isn't that neat? I like that. Because we used to say you have to be you have to mess up to be able to be a part of our congregation. Everybody has a past. And I like that. Probably one he's best known for is this. He said, You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. He knew that because he was a prodigal. But is God still working today? Does he still do that in people's lives today? Well, let me give you a person who he did. You know Franklin Graham? He's born in 1952. He wrote a book called Rebel with a Cause. He rebelled against his parents. He was rebelling so bad they sent him up to a school in New York. The school kicked him out. He did graduate from high school. And he went on to a Christian college. And guess what? They kicked him out. Because he was a rebel. He was going against God's way. He finally graduated. He went to Montreat. Graduated. And then he was going around Europe, he said, with a whiskey bottle in his hand. And he went down to Jerusalem. And one night, instead of going into a bar as he'd been doing, for some reason, he stayed in his room. And he opened up his Bible. And he read John chapter 3. Well, when he got to John chapter 3, he gave his heart to the Lord Jesus. He was 22 at the time. Has God used him? Now, we do Operation Christmas Child every year. Samaritan's Purse helps people all over the globe. And he's president of the Billy Graham Organization. He preaches and leads festivals all over the world where people come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Does God work? Yeah. But you know what? You can't ever go back and get the years. You can't ever go back and reclaim what you lost. It's over. It's gone. Lord, so would you open up the eyes of their heart and let the light of your truth flood into their lives. That's our prayer, Lord, for all the prodigals. Open their eyes. Open the eyes of their heart and let the light of your truth flood in. So here are some things you can do. Help them focus on God's power and love to change the situation. Encourage them to pray the scriptures for the loved ones. encourage them to draw upon the Lord's strength as they wait, and remind them of God's successes. Talk to people. You'll find others that have been prodigals. How many in this room are a prodigal? You've decided to walk away and you've come back. Hold your hand up higher. Yeah, okay. See, hear people. Not everybody has to. And when you do, you lose. But the nice thing is God can use you still. Isn't that neat? You can still be used. He doesn't throw you away because He loves you. Well, I'd like another passage that you can give them now. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. See, the Spirit of God can help them as they go through this difficult time, praying and waiting for the prodigal son, the prodigal daughter, the prodigal nephew, the prodigal dad, the prodigal mom.
Prodigal student, can I say something?
Do what?
I said the prodigal student, can I say something?
Sure, come on, sis. Yeah, that's fine. I've already taken the mic out. Come speak here.
So, you know, I teach high school, which is where most prodigals start walking away. But since God's been really good to encourage my heart as I've tried to encourage parents who I know walk with the Lord, and even some who don't, with the proverb that says that train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. When you're a teenager, you're not old. So just trying to encourage those parents that all the work they did when their child was small, that investment is still there and it will bear fruit, that it just, you know, so I tell them to hold on to that. That train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. This is a faith encouraging, building kind of thing.
Very good. That's good. That's great. Another verse. And there are many in the Scriptures that we can use. So let's get on board and help people who are going through this hard time. They need help. And we have the ability to be able to help them. Lord, thank you for our friends who are going through difficult times with family members. Would you strengthen their hearts? And would you allow us to be people who come along like Aaron and Hur did to Moses and hold their arms as they are in the battle for their family member. Lord, please open up the eyes of those hearts that the light of your truth might flood in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. 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 Thank you so much.